Thank you to all the young students, kids who were here and shared your song with us. But that song had so much energy every night. It was just wonderful to watch kids sing that. So we appreciated you sharing that with us this morning as well. So I'm on this series now, Angels, Demons, and You. I'm sort of following this book by Alan Jackson. It's Angels, Demons, and You, Unseen Spiritual Influences in Our Lives. So that's what we're going to be, this is continuing on in that series. It's been an interesting book. As a book goes, this is not like scholarly kinds of things. It's very accessible, very helpful for the average layperson. So believe me when I say that if you did an in-depth study on angels, demons, and things like that, you could be spending a month of Sundays on some very technical, deep stuff. But what he does is he takes this subject material and he makes it accessible and helpful to us, to the average layperson. So if any of you get this book, and some of you said that you did, then I would say that that's probably the take on the book itself. So what I'd like to do today is talk about the purpose of angels. So again, most of the time I do what's called exegesis. I take a text, I break it down and say, this is what this text means, this is what it meant back then, this is what it means today, this is how it applies to our lives. That's what's called biblical exegesis. Today, or at least in terms of this subject material, I'm going to be doing what's called more of a topical exposition. The topic is angels. What does the Bible have to say about angels? And so we're going to expose what the Bible has to say about the angels themselves. And so that's why we call it topical exposition. Those are really kind of the primary two ways in which we understand or teach Scripture. And so that's what I'll be doing today. The purpose of angels, what they do, and what we do with them. So I'm going to start with an interesting text. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. This is from Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 2, where the author of Hebrews says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." That word entertained is philoxenia. You ever hear of xenophobia? Xenophobia is the fear of strangers. Xeno, strangers, phobia, fear. This is philoxena. Philo meaning love, xenia or xena meaning stranger, the love for strangers. It literally means the love of strangers. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained philoxenia, angels unaware, strangers who were angels. That's kind of interesting. Some have entertained, some have, you know, literally entertained. They bumped into a person and had a conversation or did something for that person that they didn't know. They were a stranger, and that stranger was an angel. So apparently, you know, and we'll talk about how this happens in a few minutes, but there are angels masquerading as human beings as a part of their purpose in human life. And much of that purpose is to guard those who believe in Christ so that they can enter into eternity. So God sends his angels to guard us, among other things. There are other reasons. Now, maybe some of you feel as if you might have had an encounter with an angel at some point. And that can appear kind of fantastical. For some, that might seem uneducated, unsophisticated. But I don't think God cares about what we perceive to be education or sophistication. I think God is who God is. God does what God does. And however he works in our life, that's how he works in our life. And, you know, we have our you know, we have our prerequisites of how we think God ought to work or what we think God does, but you know, someone once said, I have my plans and God laughs. Because my plans aren't what God's plans are, so he just laughs like, you have no idea, do you? You know, and so I think the same is kind of true with how God works in our life with the use of angels, which is another interesting question to me because I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know, the prophet Daniel, at one time was praying to God. And you know, Daniel was this really powerful figure and distinguished himself a number of times in the Old Testament. And during one of those times, as he was praying and was concerned and distressed about a particular situation, an angel came to him and said, hey, I'm here. I'm here to help you. I didn't get here sooner because the prince of Persia prevented me from coming, which was a colloquialism for Satan. Now, if God is all-powerful, this is one of the interesting questions, if God is all-powerful, why does he need angels to do anything? If God is all-powerful, why does he need us to do anything? Why is it that God chooses to use both celestial beings as well as temporal creatures like us? Why does God choose to do that? And the answer is, I don't know. That's part of the mystery of life that we're going to find out in eternity about why God does this, okay? So, but I don't know. But I just know that he chooses to do that. Now, John Milton in Paradise Lost kind of explores this idea a little bit, where he thinks that God uses human beings to embarrass Satan. That if we, as temporal, physical creatures, are much less powerful than Satan, and yet still can remain faithful to God, when he didn't, how embarrassing would that be for him? That's kind of like what John Milton explores, okay? So anyway, in this particular text that I just read to you, and I don't know if I'm going to get through this whole sermon, I'll just tell you that right now. I may not get through the whole thing, so we may have to pick it back up again next week. But where he says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, in this text, there are direct and implied implications. Number one, this text is primarily about love and hospitality. So the author of Hebrews is very concerned about how Christians not only treat each other, but how Christians treat strangers. What do we do for strangers in terms of hospitality? That one of the ways in which Christians distinguish themselves in the world in which we live is by how we treat them in a hospitable way. So, for example, we're going to do a special offering for strangers who live in Texas. We are practicing hospitality. We have our home. We have our comforts. We have food. We have security. They do not. The flood victims in Texas do not. Probably no one here has ever met any one of those people who were affected or disaffected by the flood. They are strangers. But when we give this morning in that special offering, you are exhibiting love to people who are strangers to you. You never met them before. It's that kind of a thing, that and many other kinds of ways in which we can do this. Number two, the author is probably referencing the story of Abraham, Lot, and the three visitors in Genesis 18. So when the author of Hebrews was writing this, when he was talking about some people have entertained angels unawares, he was probably thinking primarily about that story. where Abraham encounters those three mystery people, two of whom we know to be angels, one, and maybe this is lost in some of you, one of whom is God. And so Abraham recognized them immediately. When the angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot recognized them immediately. The other people in Sodom and Gomorrah did not recognize them at all. In fact, wanted to do unbelievably profane things to those angels. You remember that? Okay. So that's what they wanted to do. But it also implies that angels are present and prominent in our lives. This text also implies that. It's as if you could almost say, here's one example among many of where angels are prominent in our lives, that sometimes they come into our lives as strangers. Now, I don't know if you've ever met a famous person or not without being aware that they were a famous person. So I just want to give you a couple examples because I think they're a little humorous. Because I think that happens, and this is part of the dynamic, that sometimes angels come to us, they may come to us, they may be working in our life, and we don't really recognize them for the significant person that they are, as we do other things. In 1986, my friend John, who later became a Marine Corps Harrier pilot, was boarding a plane back to his home in the state of Alabama. There was a man sitting next to him on the plane, and every single person who got on board was talking to him and saying hi. John looked at him and said, "You must be a celebrity, because everyone seems to know who you are." The man said, "Are you saying you don't know who I am? If so, I need to fire my publicist." John explained that he had spent the last 3 years as a midshipman at the Naval Academy and wasn't allowed to watch TV, and was focused on classes and making sure he would graduate. The man introduced himself and said that he was a comedian and that he had been appearing on TV quite a bit. His name was Jay Leno. Now, you have to live in a cave not to know that that's Jay Leno, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, the jaw, all that kind of stuff, whatever, right? Here's one more. I met one celebrity, and he didn't quite say, "Do you know who I am?" Instead, he just introduced himself. It was in the early 1960s, and my father had driven 300 miles in the winter to see this man perform. We stopped to get something to eat in a diner, and lo and behold, the man was there. My father, never shy, went over and asked him to say hello to my brother and me. So he came over and said, "Hello, my name is Johnny Cash." My brother and I were quite shy at that age and couldn't look him in the eye. He reached into his pockets and pulled out two guitar strings and gave one to my brother and one to me. Can you imagine that? So I never got a chance to say I didn't know who he was. He preempted that possibility. So we have a personal one. We used to do this camp up in Stony Lake, Michigan, for middle school students. And on the weekends, my wife and family would come up and stay there, and we'd spend some time together over the weekends before the next camp. There was this little store there. I think it was the Stony Lake store. It's one of those little like family run kind of like stores along the lake. You know, they have everything in the world. It's not like kept really well or whatever. They have a deli and all that stuff. So I was in line and I was paying for my stuff, and I turned around and there was this gentleman that I recognized immediately. I'll tell you who it is in just a second. And then behind him was my wife. And this man was a TV celebrity, and the show that he was on, we watched it every time we could. So my eyes got as big as saucers, and I walked back to the back of the store, and there's my wife standing right behind him. And so he gets his stuff, and he pays for it, and he walks, and She gets her stuff, and she pays for it, and she walks back to me. And I said, did you see him? She said, who? I said, that's Norm. George Went from Cheers. You didn't see him. I said, he's only this big. How could you miss him, you know? And she says, I can't believe it. I mean, she was kicking herself the rest of the day that she'd missed. It's George Went, right? George Went from Cheers. And she just couldn't believe she'd missed him. She didn't recognize him for who he was at the time. How did you not see him? He was wider than a newspaper, I can tell you that. So, oh my gosh. Anyway. Yeah, well. So. I'll pay for that later, probably, but it's all for Jesus, honey, all for Jesus. Okay, so what are angels as well as the purpose and or role in our lives so that we can recognize when they're at work? Have you ever been driving, and this just came to me, have you ever been driving down the road and you were distracted and all of a sudden it seems almost as if somebody jerked the wheel and pulled you back from running off the road? I'm telling you, on more than one occasion, I wonder if that was a guardian angel in my life to prevent me from killing myself or whoever else was with me in the car. Ed has kind of a saying, you know, that some people live these lives that are really risky lives, you know, they'd make all kinds of really lousy choices and decisions, and that their guardian angel is a chain smoker, you know, that he's just, you know, like, this guy's just driving me crazy. I can't keep him alive hardly, you know. So, and sometimes I feel like, you know, that's probably been me in my life at times, you know, with things that I do. But angels, I do think, are more prominent in our lives and protect us not just from decisions that we make, but from spiritual forces that we don't see. Well, what does the word angel mean? The word angel is aglos, which means messenger. It literally means messenger, is what that name means, okay? And there are different types of angels and orders of angels. There are the seraphim, who attend God at his throne. They lead worship and sing praises. They have multiple wings and fiery forms. Then there's the cherubim. They are really exotic-looking creatures, if you read about them, especially in the sort of like the prophetic literature. The cherubim, they have four faces. One face is a lion, one face is an ox, one is human, and one is an eagle, and they have four wings. I have no idea why they're like that. That's just how they're described in the prophetic literature, Daniel, Ezekiel, the book of Revelations, and texts like that. Here are some other types of descriptions. There are the archangels, of which we know there are primarily two, Gabriel and Michael, maybe Raphael. Raphael may be an archangel, we don't know. Then there are guardian angels, which are assigned to protect and guide a particular person, group, or nation. And so I'll have some examples of that for you here this morning as well. Guardian angels, culturally, were such a thing that, oh, I'm sorry, guardian angels culturally were such a thing in New Testament times that people would often worship them. Paul addressed this specifically in the book of Colossians and alluded to it in the other epistles as well, namely Ephesians. So angels, you will find discussions about angels in almost every ancient religion. Judaism, the Christian faith, as well as others. There are descriptions of beings that when you get that description with our description, the description is very similar. This is an angel, okay? And they were regarded so strongly that there were groups of people, including some Christians, who worshipped angels. Now, in the book of Colossians, The Apostle Paul repudiated that practice, saying, look, you can't do this. These are not creatures that you worship. You can respect them, but you cannot worship them. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul takes great care to say, here is a hierarchy of people or beings, and in this hierarchy, they are all subservient to God. They are not God. They are angels, but they are not God, and therefore they cannot be worshipped. Right? They are subordinate to God. They aren't even close to being as powerful as God. So Paul would say that in the book of Ephesians. What are other things that angels do? Number one, angels are ministering spirits. They minister to people. So you might recall that when the prophet Elijah was running from Jezebel, that he was exhausted. And so by the brook of, I want to say it's Cher Brook, I think it's the name of the little creek that he's next to, an angel appeared to him, fed him, and ministered to him. So angels are spiritual beings. That is to say, they are transcendent. They are beyond this world. They are metaphysical, meta meaning beyond, bigger, larger than this world. Okay, so they are metaphysical and they are transcendent beings. They are not locked into this world. And because of that, angels move between dimensions. So the metaphysical world is infinitely superior to this world. Infinitely. This world is a speck. This universe is a speck in comparison to the vastness of the metaphysical world in which you find God and angels. But the angels move from the metaphysical world into this world. We cannot move from this world into their world, but they can move from this world into our world and back again, right? And when they come to this world, it's because they have an assignment. They have a purpose. And for many of us, that purpose is to guard us, not only from ourselves or from others, but from evil spiritual beings as well. They are a part of, you know, where I've talked about this theological term called God's common grace. So God's common grace, and that is to say, God has protections that he has in place, not only for believers, but for non-believers as well. If you are a non-believer, God's common grace protects you from the evil one, Satan himself. And part of that common grace, that protection, are guardian angels. So everyone benefits from God's common grace. And the angels are a significant piece of that common grace in terms of protecting us. Are not all angels ministering spirits set to serve those who will inherit salvation? In other words, all angels are sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So they are to protect our salvation. That's a primary role that angels play. So you can thank God for those angels, but you can't worship those angels for doing that. Okay? So we read here in Psalm 103, verses 19 and 20, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. They are mighty, but they do the bidding of God. And part of that bidding is to protect you and me from ourselves, from each other, and from the evil one. So angels are guardians. And we read in Genesis 3, and I'm going to give you three examples of where we see that in the biblical text. Genesis 3, 23 through 24. So the Lord banished Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. He placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Now you think, like, why is that important? Because Adam and Eve had just fallen. And in having just fallen, had they eaten of the tree of life, eternal life, they would have lived forever in their fallen state. So that's one of the reasons why the cherubim guarded the garden in that way. Exodus 14, 19 through 20. This is kind of dramatic. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front, so they're leaving Egypt. Pharaoh is behind them. They're trying to get to the promised land. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from it in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so that neither went near the other all night long. God sent his angel to protect the Israelites from the Egyptians and from Pharaoh, who was seeking to get them back. And he gave the Egyptians darkness, and he gave the Israelites light. Right? And then finally, Matthew 18:10, which I referenced earlier today. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. I want to spend a few minutes on this. When we dedicate a child here, part of that child dedication, most of that child dedication is for the parents and family, that you will raise that child up to give you the short catechesis, you will raise that child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But the final part of that child dedication is to the congregation, that you partner with parents. To bring those children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Everyone plays a part in the spiritual growth of children. And that's one reason why we spend so much time on VBS this morning talking about that. That's one reason why we're working so hard to try and make this children's church thing work better than what it's worked before. Because if we don't treat the children that God has given to us properly, then their guardian angel has something to say to God about that. All of us here in that way, and this is a good thing, are on report. What we say to children and how we act and believe, one of the things I encourage the VBS staff to do is, look, when those kids are with you, make sure that they see Jesus in you. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Right? And that's what we do. So you'll be hearing more and more about this, because we got to take care of the children. We have to take care of these children that God has given to us. And that's young children and middle school children and high school children. We have to take care of all of them. So, angels are messengers. And here are ways in the Old Testament and New Testament that they were messengers to certain people. Angels appeared and had conversation with Abraham and with Hagar, his wife. His Sarai's handmaiden, Hagar. Angel appeared before Gideon to encourage him to be successful over the Moabites, the Midianites. It was with Gideon. So Gideon's success over the Midianites. Angel appeared to Samson's parents to tell them what a special person that Samson would be. An angel appeared to Daniel in chapter 10 of Daniel, which we talked about earlier. An angel appeared to Elijah and spoke to him, which we also talked about And then there were some other examples, which I don't have time to go into. The angel appeared sort of to Elisha. There was one occasion where Elisha was in danger, he and his servant, and the servant saw these angels surrounding their camp. Angels, and we read about this every December, angel appeared before Mary, then to Joseph, then to Zechariah, then to the shepherds, and had messages for all of them, remember? Angel appeared to Peter and to Paul and to John the Apostle. You might want to, if you're looking for devotional material, this would be an interesting thing for you to do this week, is just to read through about how angels appear to all these different people and had messages for them. So angels then are very much a part of our life. They are at work. They have been given jobs and assignments to do on behalf of humankind to protect us, to be a part of God's common grace. And I think probably, if our hearts were more attuned to God, if we were more sensitive to the things of God, we probably would see that and recognize that more readily than what we do. I want to just end, and I didn't get through. I have a bunch more, but I just don't have time to get to it today, and I'll pick it up next week. But I want to end with this about how angels are our guardians. There was a well-known missionary story that's told by John Payton, who served in the New Hebrides Islands, and his wife together, who were surrounded by a hostile, this is sort of a well-known story among missionaries, and they were surrounded by a hostile tribe one night, intent on burning their mission and killing them. This is a danger for many, many missionaries every day throughout the entire world, that they are in danger of being killed and with their work being destroyed and things like that. So it goes to that. So after praying for protection, they were surprised to see the attackers leave the next morning. A year later, the tribal chief converted to Christianity. And upon being questioned by Payton, revealed that they had been deterred by the sight of numerous men in shining garments with swords surrounding the mission. Payton realized that God had sent angels to protect them. So, can I prove that scientifically? No, I can't. All I can tell you is that there's a bunch of oral testimony from a group of people who said, we were going to come and kill you, and we didn't come and kill you because you were surrounded by these really bright, powerful-looking people with flaming swords. They were terrifying, and we just gave up and we went home. And because we gave up and went home, there was more time for you to be here, and guess what happened? We all became Christians. So next week, then, I'm going to talk about how angels intervene in our world to establish a different outcome. I was trying to get to that today, but I didn't have enough time. So we'll talk about that next week, about how they intervene in our world to establish a different outcome for us. So hopefully you'll find this interesting, and just would encourage you to spend some time researching the scriptures and learning for yourself the role that angels play in the life of humanity. I think it's much more significant than what we have thought about in the past.